Again, a blessing to be here with the saints and with fellow laborers in the gospel from around the country. And I enjoy you men and iron sharpening iron over the table, and it's helpful and encouraging to me. I want to thank the church again, Brother James, Brother Orville, all of the saints here for your gracious hospitality and all you've labored to serve us. We're very thankful and really appreciate it. I want to speak to you on a subject this morning. It's kind of a common theme with what the Lord put on my heart last night, but my subject this morning is dealing with anxiety. Anybody here anxious about anything? Well, I saw two hands, so yeah, we could all, if we were honest, we'd all raise our hand. We have anxiety, and God's Word has helped for us. And I guess as I've gotten older in the Lord, when I first became a Christian, my view of the gospel was very small. The gospel is how you get converted. You believe the gospel and you get saved. As I've gotten older in the Lord and been through a few things, I see how essential the gospel is in my life every day. It's sanctifying. I've kind of given you the theme of my message, dealing with anxiety, and I've given you the answer. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we'll work through this. My text is in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll be particularly, our text is 6 and 7, but I'm going to read beginning in verse 1 through verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Here in verse 2, this is a very good directive for us pastors. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you again this morning with thanksgiving, with adoration, with praise, Lord, with expectation. Lord, we desire to hear from heaven. We desire, Lord, to grow in grace and knowledge of you, to see you as you are. Lord, to live lives, fruitful lives for you and your kingdom. We desire to see our family and our friends that are yet outside of Christ come to him. So, Lord, would you bless your word this morning as I preach, as Michael preaches, the men this evening. Lord, continue to rain manna from heaven. Bring honey out of a rock, Lord, for your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This phrase in verse 6, humble yourselves, that describes the right posture for us as we recognize God's absolute sovereignty. We do know that God works all things after the counsel of his own will. As Christians, we believe, we should believe in God's absolute sovereignty. And we should willingly submit to who God is and that God does all things well. Remember, Abraham asks, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So we know, I hope we know, that all things are working together for good. To them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And knowing this, we should be daily humbling ourselves under God's sovereign authority. And that's what our text says here in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, we're commanded here to humble ourselves. Why? Because He cares for you. We need to make that connection. Humble yourselves because He cares for you. Brethren, if we would not be anxious about things, we must humble ourselves before God. It took me a long time to make this connection, and I still get disconnected from it. But we need to make this connection. In fact, an anxious and worrying mind is sin because it violates two principles of God's Word. First, it violates the principle of Christian humility. We don't often think that way, but when we worry, it violates the principle of Christian humility. Peace of mind and peace of heart relate directly to humility in your life. We must humble ourselves in order that we might cast our cares upon Him. When we hold on to our cares, we are not humble, we're proud. We don't think that way, but that's the reality. You see, brethren, pride cannot trust God. The posture of trust is too weak. It's too dependent upon another. It calls too much attention to the strength and the wisdom of another person. Trusting God is the essence of humility, and it's the opposite of pride. Now think of this. When pride keeps you from trusting God to take care of you, there are two possibilities. First of all, you either have a false security, a false sense of security based on your own ability, your own power to take care of things yourself. You're worrying, but you think, I'm going to get this fixed. And that's pride. Or secondly, you realize you can't fix it. You realize you can't deal with it. You realize you can't guarantee security. And so what do? You worry. So both ways, it's pride. First, worry violates the principle of Christian humility. But secondly, worry questions God's absolute sovereignty. Worry questions God's absolute sovereignty. If we believe that God is sovereign, and I think we do here, we must believe that all things work together for good. Now, we all know that verse, Romans 8:28, but we don't often live in that verse. As the scripture here says, as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, we also are to cast our care upon Him. Now, this word care in verse 7 there, this word care is a word that in the Greek is mernon. Mernon. It literally means a divided mind. A divided mind. It comes from two other Greek roots, meros, which means partial, and neos, which means mind. So literally, care, casting your care upon Him, means casting your divided mind upon the Lord. The term in the English language that we use most often is the term anxiety. And that's what we're talking about, anxiety. So another way care could be translated would be to give preoccupied, anxious thought to something. That's worry. You're giving preoccupied, anxious thought to something in your life. When you have a preoccupied or anxious mind, you're occupied with something other than obedience to God. And we know that's sin. We are commanded in Philippians 4:6 to be careful for not too much, right? No, careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Careful means just what it sounds like. It means full of care. It doesn't mean you're not to care about anything. It means you're not to be full of anxiety, divided, distracted mind toward things. You see, God has not given you a spirit of fear. as a Christian. He's given you a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a spirit of sound mind. As a Christian, that's what you have. So when you feel fear swelling up in you, God's not given you that. That comes from something else and from somewhere else. That's not what God's given you. He's given you a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. So this thing of a divided mind, it's a danger for a Christian. Think of the parable of the sower. Jesus said the sower went forth to sow, and some seed fell among thorns. And remember what he said of those thorns? When the seed sprang up, the thorns choked the fruit, and the vine became unfruitful. And then these thorns, Jesus says, they are the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Now, Jesus' word here for cares is the exact same word that Peter's using here. It's the same Greek word. It means a divided mind. It's murnon, a divided, distracted mind between obedience to God and preoccupation with worldly cares and worries. James said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You remember what he said right before he said that? He said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you're distracted, you're unstable. So God rejects the distracted double-mindedness of worldly worry. Go to Matthew 6, if you would, for a moment. Matthew chapter 6, very familiar passage. By the way, I started out in 1 Peter 5. We're going to go full circle. We're kind of like going around a racetrack. We're starting there, and we're going to take a long route, and we're going to end up back there. So just stick with me. We'll get to the finish line. Matthew 6 and verse 25. The disciples are worrying about following Christ because they thought they didn't have enough things. They didn't have enough clothing. They didn't have enough food. And he says there in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. In other words, don't be anxious. Don't worry. Take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Are you not much better than they? Are you not much better than they? Somebody say amen. Yes, we are. We are. Which of you, by taking thought, and this is the same Greek word that Peter has used for casting your care. It's murnon. It's divided, distracted mind. Which of you, by taking thought, by worrying, by being anxious, can add one cubit unto his stature? Now think about what the Lord Jesus is saying here. Can we, by worry, change anything? Has anybody ever been successful? You worried enough that you fixed it or you changed it? No. Worry drains us of energy. Worry drains us. It is self-destructive. Worry divides our mind from Christ. We worry about money. We worry about our family. We worry about our health. We worry about our government. We worry about the economy. We worry about our job. We worry about what has happened. We worry about what might happen. We worry about what won't ever happen. Don't we? Listen, worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. It is carrying 2 days at once. Don't do it. It is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of sorrow. It empties today of your strength. It drains you. It's unprofitable. Look at verse 28, Matthew 6. Jesus goes on, why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Do you see the issue here? It's the same issue we had last night. It's faith. It's trusting God. Therefore, take no thought. In other words, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. This is how the world operates, brethren. He's saying, don't do that. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let me say this. Our anxiety level about worldly things is a litmus test of our spirituality. Because that's what Jesus just said, O ye of little faith. The more we are worried and anxious about those things, whatever those things are, that's a barometer of our faith and our trust in God. Listen, everything that makes you anxious, you have a choice. Everything that makes you anxious, you have a choice. Hang on to it or unload it. You have a choice. Pride says, keep it. Try to fix it. Worry about it. Humility says, I can't. I'm casting this upon the Lord. In our text in 1 Peter that we read earlier, God commands us to humble ourselves by casting all our care upon Him. Now, sometimes we worry because we don't know how to cast our cares and our worries upon the Lord. So I want to be real practical here for a few minutes. If we're to cast our care, how do we do that? This word cast is not, if you guys fish and you cast your lure, we're not talking about throwing something. That's not the word. This word cast is a very rare word in the New Testament. It's only used one other place in the New Testament. And we're going to look at that. Luke 19. The only other place when Peter said, cast your care upon Him for He cares for you, that word is only used one other place. Luke 19. Don't worry, it's okay. Luke 19, 29. And it came to pass when He, Jesus, was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying, go you into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man set. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, found even as He had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and here's the word, cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. The only other place that word cast is used in the New Testament. Now you can imagine what they're doing. It says they cast their garments upon the colt and they set Jesus thereon. That's what it's like to cast your care upon Him. The casting of our care upon the Lord is just like casting garments upon the back of this colt. And Christ, just like this colt, is your burden bearer. He's the only one that can bear your burden successfully. A more familiar metaphor of Christ as our burden bearer is the ox, the metaphor of the ox. Jesus is the ox of Almighty God. He plows up the fallow ground of our heart. He is the mighty and strong one upon whom we cast our cares. And I think the Lord was very aware of His oxen-like character when He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. This is an ox of God. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, brethren, if you are burdened today, and most of us are in some way, if you are heavy laden, remember that life's burdens are God's gracious means to bring you to Christ. Let me say that again. Life's heavy burdens are God's gracious means to bring you to the burden bearer, to the mighty ox of God. If you have burdens or pressures or cares of life, these are but God's tender mercies to bring you and move you to Christ to cast them upon Him. Jesus said, come to me. Are you worried about something? Jesus is telling you this morning, come to me. Come to me. Don't go to the psychiatrist. You may need to go to your pastor. You may need to talk to your husband or your child, but go to Christ first. Go to Him. Come to Him, He says. All you that labor. This word labor is a word that anybody can understand, particularly those of us who work. By saying all you that labor and heavy laden, the Lord means not people who are just lightly burdened, that you don't really feel much. He's talking about people who are weighed down with some heavy burdens. And some of you here may be weighed down with a heavy burden of your sin. You're not converted. You're not truly a Christian. And you're living day in and out with a heavy burden of sin. And you're trying to clean your act up. You're trying to act better, trying to do better. There's only one thing to do. Jesus said, come to me and give me that burden. He's the only one that can handle it. It's a heavy weight. Heavy laden is the Greek word for tizo. Those of you who read music, you ladies that play the piano, you know fortissimo. If you look in your hymnal, you see an F or a double F or a triple F. Brother Jack, that means get loud, get louder, get real loud when you see a bunch of Fs. No offense, Brother Jack. But this word heavy laden is fortizo. It means strength and power. Fortizo is the kind of burden that pushes you down with strength and force. And if you're the kind of person that feels life's heaviness, life's pressing burdens bearing down on your mind, then you're the very person the Lord Jesus is saying, come to me. Come unto me, you who are heavy laden, you who are burdened. You're the one He's calling. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. Rest simply means, in one way, it means a pause. You ever played athletics and you're just out of breath? And what does that mean? Time out. Some of you would like to have a time out right now. Things are coming too quick. It's too heavy. It's too hard. You're just overwhelmed. You need a pause. You need a time out. And Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. I'll give you a timeout. I'll give you rest. I'll give you a break. Let me get even more basic. What is it to come to Christ? What does that mean? We use that terminology all the time. Jesus said, come unto me. How do we do that? Well, there's a couple of passages that are very helpful. You'll recognize them when I quote it. If you want to follow or just listen, John 6 and verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And as if you don't know what he meant by coming to me, the next sentence he says, he that believes on me shall never thirst. You want to know what it means to come to Christ? It means to believe him, to believe on him. He says something similar in John 7, 37, in that last day, that great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. The next verse, he says, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So there it is again. This is the parallel. Coming to Christ is simply believing on him. It's trusting him. So he says here in Matthew 11, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Surely, certainly, not might, but I will give you rest. What a promise. We need rest. If you're plowing under the yoke of worldly pressure, if you're plowing under the yoke of the heavy weight of sin, then you're like a man you're like an oxen that's been yoked to a plow that's too heavy, going through a field that's too rocky and too hard. But beloved, I'm here to tell you, Jesus is a better plowman. And he says, I have another yoke for you. And my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he's saying, let me have yours. I can handle it. Give it to me. I have a yoke that you can bear. And he says, take my yoke. Now, how do we take his yoke upon us? Because that's what he told us to do. You want to be free of these worldly pressures and cares? He says, give me that yoke and I'll give you mine. How do we take his yoke upon us? He said, remember, learn of me. We learn of him. That's how we cast our cares upon him. We learn of him. We learn of Christ through his word, enabled by his spirit. We're exhorted over and over to meditate. Somebody said that, Brother James. Meditate on God's word. We read it, we memorize it, we're familiar with it. How often do we meditate upon it? Brethren, this is a help to you with anxiety. Meditating upon God's word. Knowing Christ, seeing and learning more of him. I like the way Paul puts it in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You have to meditate. If we would bear the easy yoke of Christ and cast off the heavy yoke of worldly cares, we must meditate on God's word and learn more and more of Jesus Christ. Now, most of you were here last night and I preached about the storm and Jesus asleep in the boat. And if you remember again, his disciples were full of fear and they said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And Christ rose up from his sleep and he just simply said to the waves and the wind, peace, be still. Now, how did he bring the calm? With his word. With his word. He did it with his word. Brethren, God's word has power, not only unto salvation, but in every way. God's word has power to bring peace to your situation that passes all understanding. And that's, well, I started to get ahead of myself. But let me say this. If you're anxious and a few people raise their hand, you got worries, how are you doing reading God's word? How are you doing taking in God's word and thinking about it, believing it, meditating upon it? Just stop and compare your mental preoccupation with the cares of this world versus your meditation on God's word. How are you weighing out right there? How's the balance coming? I think we could all say we're weighed in the balance and we've been found wanting. The psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Let me direct you to another passage here that's so helpful in thinking about worldly cares and worry and anxiety. Psalm 119. If you mark in your Bible, this is a good one to mark. Verses 49 and 50. And we'll also jump over to verse 92. Psalm 119, verse 49. Listen, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. That ought to be helpful to us right there, brethren. We all either have a storm or we're going to have a storm. We have afflictions. We've got cares and worries. And God tells us, this is my comfort. Thy word hath quickened me. If you look at verse 92, unless the law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. Do not neglect God's word, because you're going to have a life full of anxiety and worry. God's word brings a calm, because Jesus, the Lord Jesus, brings a calm. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. There's something particular here the Lord would have us learn. Do you remember what he said? Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What are the things we need to learn? He said, I am meek and lowly of heart. We need to learn meekness and we need to learn lowliness or humility. Now, this brings us full circle. I told you we're going all the way around the track. This brings us full circle. If we would cast our cares, as Peter said, upon him, if we would take his yoke upon us, we must learn of him. We must learn meekness. We must learn humility, which means we must deal with our pride. If we're going to be able to unload our cares and not live a life full of anxiety and worry, we're going to have to deal with pride. Do you remember in Mark 10, there's James and John, and Jesus has already told them about his kingdom. He's going to go to Calvary. He's going to be crucified. He's going to raise again the third day. And he's talking about his passion, and they're over there arguing about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. Who's going to sit on his right, who's going to sit on his left. And Jesus said to them in Mark 10:43, "But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, your servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Brethren, Jesus humbled himself in order to take up the burdens of others. Now, this is so important. It is a key to dealing with anxiety in our life. If you're consumed with self, you're not going to deal well with anxiety. Jesus humbled himself in order to take up other people's burdens. See, pride is self-occupied. Pride is occupied with self. Listen, if you would alleviate your burdens, if you would take some of the pressure off yourself and your temptation to worry, you have to take up somebody else's burdens. Take up someone else's. It is a paradox, isn't it? But it's true. You will lighten your load of cares, of worldly burdens and cares, as you take up other people's burdens. When you're occupied with your own, you're going to be full of worry. When you're occupied with others, you're not worried so much about others. You're praying. You're useful. You're doing just what that song said that you and your daughter sang. You're working wherever you are. I've never seen a Christian in the right frame of mind who is preoccupied with his own burden bearing. Let me say that again. I've never seen a Christian in the right frame of mind who was preoccupied with his own burden bearing. But I've seen many Christians, many of you here, who had a great peace of mind because they were constantly bearing others' burdens. You remember, according to Jesus, those are greatest in the kingdom because they minister to others. If you're feeling bad, if you're worried about your life and your needs, just stop right now. Because you know someone that has it much worse than you do. If you don't, you're not looking very far. Because they're all around. Go and minister to them as much as you're able. Paul says, "Bear ye one another's burdens," and what? "You'll fulfill the law of Christ." You'll fulfill love as you bear others' burdens. If you want to have a light burden, simply take up somebody else's burden. It's a paradox. Learn of Christ. Bear others' burdens. Here's another obvious key to dealing with worry and anxiety in life, and it's prayer. It's prayer. Psalm 50, verse 14, the psalmist says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." I love that verse. So here it is. Here's the word of faith, isn't it? Call upon me in the day of trouble, I'll deliver you. I'll fix it all. Depends on what you're looking at as deliverance. What's deliverance? To me, deliverance is peace and joy in the Lord, even though the storm's still raging. That's deliverance, and that's the deliverance the psalmist is talking about here. Call upon me. Pray. And we all know Philippians 4, 6 through 9, be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Stop being anxious. But what do? Instead of exhausting ourselves, pouring all of our energy into worry, what do with our energy? Pour it into prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And what's going to happen? Is he going to fix everything immediately? No. The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, don't distract your mind over here. Think on these things. Well, what is this? All these things, whatever's true, honest, just, He says, think on these things. What does that embody? Well, that embodies the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the epitome of all those virtues. Set your mind on him. Do like Paul said in Colossians 3, if you have been risen with Christ, set your affection on things above and not on the things of this earth, because you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So you have a choice with these burdens that you carry every day. You can unload them, you can cast them on the ox of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, or you can just haul them around with you. And again, we know that worry is wasted time and energy that we should put into prayer, as we just read, blanketed with thanksgiving. Worldly care is like trash. I do take the trash out sometimes. My wife does probably most often. But I've never seen her take the trash out there and just walk around in the yard with the trash and get to the trash can. I think I'll carry it back to the house. But we don't do that, do we? That's ridiculous. But why do we do it with worry? Why do we do it with care? The Lord says, give that to me. Give it to me. I can handle it. I know what to do with it. Give it to me. Again, our text, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care, all your worry, all your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. I don't know about all of you, but I know about some of you and some of the burdens in your life. I know all of you have anxieties in life, even though you didn't raise your hand. I know all of us fall into this trap of being anxious about our life, about the world, about the things that divide and distract our mind from the singleness of mind that we ought to have upon Christ. But if we are to have peace in life, and that's really what you want, maybe you haven't really sat down and thought about it, but you want peace. You want peace. If we're to have peace and rest in life, we must come to Christ. Not just one time, not just the first time, every time and all the time. We must constantly come to him. We must believe on him. We must learn of him. We must serve others. And all of it must be bathed in prayer. This is how we deal with anxiety. And it's all centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, when the Lord referred to his people as, remember, the apple of his eye, this doesn't refer to some beautiful apple that one holds in front of his eye and just admires, but it refers to the cornea, the most sensitive part of the eye. That part, brother, if I tried to poke you, if you didn't have glasses, I started to poke you in the eye, it's just instinct. You're going to put your hand up there. It's the most sensitive part of the eye, and we instinctively protect it at all costs. And God calls you and you and you and you as his people the apple of his eye. In Deuteronomy 32, it is said that the Lord kept his people as the apple of his eye. David prayed in Psalm 17 that God would keep him as the apple of his eye. And in Zechariah 2, the Lord said of his people, he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. All that to say, brethren, that Almighty God by his very nature will instinctively protect and provide for the apple of his eye. And when Christ's disciples worried about what they would wear, remember he said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And tell me if Solomon, in all his glory, was dressed as well. The answer is no, he wasn't. And as God's children, you are the apple of his eye. So I say to you all, toil not, spin not, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Come to him. Take his yoke. Learn of him who is meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find remedy for your anxiety. You will find that he'll provide for you as surely as he feeds the sparrows. He will array you in a glory that is more beautiful than Solomon's royal robes, his own splendor as the glory as the rose of Sharon and even the lily of the valley. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for being anxious about today and tomorrow and what may never be. Forgive us for exhausting energy on worry instead of praying. Lord, enable us by your grace to come again to Christ and cast our care upon Him and find peace and joy and rest in Him. Help us to learn of Him. Help us to take up others' burdens. We want to glorify you in lives of joy and peace and rest. So, Lord, would you teach us through your word? We ask in Christ's name.